are live. The meeting is live.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us. I am remote this evening and calling to order the Tuesday, September 9th, 2025 City Council meeting. I will be attending via Zoom from the Oceano Hotel in Half Moon Bay, where I am attending the California Marine Affairs and Navigation Conference. I will ask the city clerk to do a roll call.
Thank you, Mayor. Councilmember Eccles.
Here.
Councilmember Landrum.
Here.
Councilmember LaFay.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Edwards.
Here.
And Mayor Wixon.
Here. Thank you. All votes tonight will be done via roll call, and Mayor Pro Tem Edwards will be handling the public comment segment for me. Thank you. And with that, Councilmember Eccles, can you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yes, Mayor.
Which it stands. Thank you very much. City Attorney, Mr. Stack, closed session report, please.
Good evening, Mayor and council members. The council did meet in closed session this afternoon and discussed three real property matters involving Morrow Elementary site, Morrow Dunes RV and site, and also the former wastewater treatment plant site. No reportable action was taken under the Brown Act, but I am authorized to disclose to the public that the council did direct staff to convey an offer to the school district for the entire Morrow Elementary site. And as a reminder to the public, any formal approval of that or final approval of that agreement would have to be done in a noticed open session hearing. And that's it for closed session.
Thank you, Mr. Stack. With that, we'll move on to Mayor and City Council member reports, and I'll start with Councilmember LaFay.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I just want to bring everyone's attention here in the audience that we have through EcoSlow, we have Coastal Cleanup Day, which will be September 20th. The Friends of the Morro Bay Harbor Department and the Harbor Department will be cleaning up Bayshore Cliffs. We're looking for volunteers. It'd be 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock on September 20th. If anyone come out, we're going to meet over there by those condos, the Bayshore Cliffs area, and we're going to clean that area up and clean the boats and stuff. So you can go on the Friends site or the EcoSlow site, Coastal Cleanup, to sign up to register. I also attended the Kent Nagano concert on August 31st. Wonderful concert. I mean, the Friends of the Morro Bay Harbor Department, the Friends of the Morro Bay Elementary, thank you, Zara, pulled off an incredible feat. Kent Nagano flew out here from Hamburg, Germany. We pretty much sold out Cuesta Auditorium and had a wonderful benefit to raise money to preserve Morro Bay Elementary School site. That's it for me.
Thank you. Councilmember Landrum.
Okay. Over Labor Day weekend, friends, I was too attended the concert at Cuesta College. I had tickets, and I planned on going, but I was out of town, and it was such a beautiful weekend. I was tempted to talk myself out of going to the concert and just stay out of town one more night. And I'm really glad I didn't listen to that voice. The concert was so moving and just incredible. Despite the holiday weekend, the concert was well attended. There were over 350 people in attendance. It was meaningful for me to see that all of the council members were present. I think there were four of us there. The symphony was led by Kent Nagano, who's a world-renowned conductor and Morrow Elementary alumnus. And like Councilmember LaFay said, though he lives in Europe, he was so compelled to offer himself to this cause of preserving the historic school parcel. And likewise, the symphony members all volunteered their time, many coming from out of the area. That was really moving to me as well. in addition to conducting the gorgeous pieces that we enjoyed, Kent also took time to speak about the importance of history and the cultural continuity of a community. He likened progress to the concept of GPS, explaining how it's hard to know where you're going moving into the future if you don't know where you've been. If you know both, it's easier to discern what is progress rather than just mere change. Also, I attended the WOMPAC meeting where it was discussed that, among other things, that there needs to be additional stakeholders. Some of the members suggested some different additional stakeholders. I attended the HAB meeting where the subcommittee reported on the equivalent of food trucks, but they could also not just be used for food, and where on the Embarcadero they might be a good places to recommend. And it was a really good conversation that they've begun on that. And as a member of the Council Subcommittee on Morro Elementary, Council Member LaFay and I met with the Director of People's Self-Help Housing. We had a really good conversation. They're going to get back to us on potential scenarios for affordable housing on some of the Morro Elementary site. And that's all.
Thank you. Council Member Eccles.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you to our residents for being here tonight. A few things to report out to you. 24/7, your government is working in the background, and we had just a little bit of discussion earlier in the year in this community about a roundabout at Highway 41 and 41 and the 101. And we talked about safety enhancements to the pedestrian crosswalks there. So I'm happy to report out that the staff has been working on this with Caltrans, and that the city has received its encroachment permit to put in some higher visibility crosswalks there. So I'm glad to see that is coming to fruition, and I want to thank staff for diligently working on that. I attended last week the Chamber of Commerce, their Business Advocacy Committee meeting, and it was a good group. There were about 15, 16 people on the committee. We had really a very in-depth and a good discussion about economic development within the city of Morro Bay. We talked about tourism, we talked about beautification. It was just a very healthy discussion. So I want to thank the chamber for hosting me for that discussion, and look forward to future and continued collaboration with the Chamber of Commerce to make our local business environment thrive that much more. I also attended the concert. It was a really wonderful opportunity to see the community come together for a common cause. I always talk about our community a little bit like family. I grew up with 5 kids in my family, and we would squabble quite a bit, but at the end of the day, we loved each other and embraced each other and moved forward as a family. And a lot of times I see this city the same way. So that afternoon, the concert was one of those afternoons where it was just really a cherished afternoon where the community came together for a common cause. So thank you, everyone, for your support of that and for attending. Lastly, I'll announce that there is a vacancy that is closing soon for the Planning Commission. So if you or anyone you know would like to apply for the Planning Commission, it's a very important job within the city. They're not meeting quite as much as they used to, because a lot of permits these days are approved at the department level, which was a goal of our general plan and has been a goal of policy changes from the state the last couple of years. But the work that they do when they get together is very important in terms of what happens here in our city. So that is closing, I believe, on the 14th, 12th? On the 12th. So you've got until the 12th of this month to apply for that. So I encourage anyone that's interested to apply for that position. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Edwards.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. So I'm just going to be the person who does some local community events today. We've got many coming up. Morro Bay Active Adults 55 Plus program is putting on, as you know, the Tunes in Tidelands. This is one event that the city usually sponsors every year. It's from 5 to 7 p.m. every Thursday. This coming Thursday is Jukebox Heroes. I like that name, actually. it's a free concert, and food and drink is available there on premise. We've also got the 5th annual Ducky Derby coming up that's provided by the Rotary of Morro Bay. That's on October 4th at 7:30 a.m. I know it's an early one, but it is such a cute event. If you haven't been, it's great. It's $10 per ducky. It's great fundraiser for the Morro Bay High School Student College and Trade School Scholarships and local projects. You can go to morrobayrotary.org to sign up for that and get your ducky or two. We've also got on October 11th the Family Fun Day at the Maritime Museum from 10 to 4. And then I want to include, I'm liaison to the CFAC Advisory Committee, and we have recently lost a member of ours as well. So we are looking for a volunteer to who is excited about anything numbers, finances, budget, and wants to help our finance department out with that. And is excited to be a part of something of that nature. The application deadline is October 3rd at 5 p.m., and that's for the Citizen Finance Advisory Committee. And then lastly, we're in the middle of the hiring process for a city manager. This is one of the most critical items that any council of any community will do. And you can take part in this process. There is a QR code in some of our publications, including Estero Bay News. You can also go to our city website under Hot Topics to find a QR code where you can take a short survey and let us know what you find to be the best characteristics or the things that you want to see in a city manager and how we can have this person be one of our main, you know, captains of this ship to move our city forward and get some of the goals that we have accomplished. So again, it would be great if you could assist us in that process. Thank you.
Thank you. So I just have a few updates. I also attended the concert at Cal Poly at Cuesta. The shout out to the friends of Morro Elementary and all their team and all the people that made that come together. The Nagano family, Nancy Nagano, for helping organize that, and Kent for taking the time to be here. But really, the community and the members of the symphony, it was just phenomenal. I attended the Tunes at Tidelands last Thursday, the first night, as Mayor Pro Tem just shared. That's coming up. Beautiful, beautiful day, beautiful venue. Hope you can all show up and enjoy that Back Bay weather. We had a yearly meeting with the an annual meeting with the grand jury, where all the cities meet and discuss issues and items that have happened in their communities and offer suggestions for things for the grand jury to look into that might be of concerns from the cities and as far as homeless or parking or whatever it might be. So we gave them a few ideas. Hopefully they'll run with some of those. I also had an RTA meeting and had our first organizational meeting for the Chumash, National Chumash Sanctuary Advisory Council. So we're just the step one of many steps to come. And as we have some information on what all that means to our community and what it looks like, I will share that with you. Lastly, I want to recognize a community member, a very dear friend to all of us who we recently lost in our community. And there's a memorial service, a celebration of life for John Weiss on the 11th also. And John, most of you know, had Radio Shack, but was just a huge part of this community, was a Rotarian who just gave of himself endlessly. So wishes to their family. With that, ICM Luker. Updates, reports.
Mayor, sorry, could I just add one thing I forgot to mention? That when I was announcing the Friends of Morro Elementary and the attendance, they've reported it over 350 people. I also wanted to shout out that they successfully raised $36,000. Thank you.
Thank you. City Manager Looker.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor, City Council members, and members of the public. A couple of feel-good things today, and I think we've got some slides that are going to go up. I'm going to talk slowly while Chief McCoy. The city has been doing concrete repairs specifically for gaps in sidewalks, and so we're really happy to say to report that we've done one in front of the dry cleaners on Napa, and then on Monterey Street between Harbor and Morro Bay Boulevard, we've put in a significant section of sidewalk there, so we have a continued walkway, and then on Morro from Dunes to Beach, similar situations. Happy to have those done, and we'll continue on filling those gaps as we go forward. I did want to tailing to Councilmember Edwards' comment. We are still accepting applications for the city manager position, which is obviously an incredible important position. Those applications will be taken until September 21st. We are using the recruitment firm of Peckham McKinney, and you can find a link to the application process either on our website or the website of Peckham McKinney. I will turn it back to Chief McCrane for a couple of comments about where some of our fire staff is doing some blade work.
Thank you, City Manager Luker. We have one engine assigned to the Garnet Fire in the Sierra National Forest with four of our personnel, and I have three personnel assigned to the Dillon Fire up near the Oregon border in Siskiyou.
Thank you, Chief. And I'll now turn over to Chief Watkins for a 3-second update on an exciting opportunity for the residents of Morro Bay.
Yes, thank you. Good evening, everyone. Just wanted to make an announcement that we are accepting applications until September 25th for this year's Citizens Academy. And you all have attended, and it is a wonderful opportunity for the community to get to know your police department, the officers, and take an in-depth look at what we do and why we do what we do. It's a 7-session academy. It starts October 1st, and it goes on for 7 consecutive Wednesdays, and so you'll be done before the holidays. So wanted to just invite anyone who's interested to call, email, text, come by the police department and fill out an application, and we'd love to have you. So please join us. Thank you.
Anything else, City Manager Looker?
No, thank you.
Thank you. With that, we'll move into subcommittee reports. Do we have any subcommittee reports this evening, Mr. Singwald?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm Erlyn Singwald, your Community Development Director. So I have a very brief report. The Morro L subcommittee met yesterday, September 8th, and discussed matters related to real property negotiations with the school district for the purchase of Morro Elementary. There are no updates on the power plant property because the power plant property subcommittee did not meet. Same with offshore wind subcommittee. No updates.
Thank you, Mr. Singwald. Chief McCrane, please tell your crews out there we wish for their safety and safe return home. With that, we will move on to public comment. And at this point, I am going to turn it over to Mayor Pro Tem Edwards, as I cannot see the people in the audience. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. So at this time, we'll ask that people want to do public comment, general public comment, something that is not on today's agenda. I've got a few here, Lighthouse Century updates with Will Benedict. And then that'll be followed by Aaron Oaks, then Linda Winters.
My name is Will Benedict. I'm the vice president of the San Luis Obispo Bicycle Club. And we will be putting on our annual Lighthouse Century Ride the 27th of this month, about 3 weeks away.
AGB, can you please pull up the slides?
Let me know when to advance your slide.
Okay. Main thing I wanted to point on this, other than what it is that this is a bicycle ride, not a race. It's not a competitive event. Everyone rides at their own pace, and it's one of the reasons that it brings a variety of people here and ends up being a pretty safe ride. Okay. What you see here are the routes. Essentially, we go up Highway 1 and come back. We go to Cambria and back for 40 miles. Those that want to go 65 go up to just below the harbor, the Seals. And those that want to do 70 go clear up above the lighthouse at the top rest stop there. Those that want to do the 100-mile route turn and go out 46 to Rocky Creek and turn around and come back so they get to climb up that nice hill and then coast back down. We've been doing this ride probably 50 years, and it's one that gets us about 1,000 riders at its best. This year we're going to be around 800 registered. Okay, I want to highlight a couple things. First, safety. There are a lot of things we do to try to make sure our ride is safe as possible. We involve the California Highway Patrol. Mobile Bay Police help us at the beginning of the ride to get us around under the highway and back up on the on-ramp. We have SAG vehicles and traveling the roads constantly with ham operators with them. We also have ham operators located at every rest stop. And so we are constantly keeping in touch with who is where, and if anything happens, how we can step and help them out. We have bike mechanics at all our rest stops, staggered starts to try to spread out people so that they have room on the shoulders of the highways to run and not get all bunched up. We have had lots of years where we've had zero incidents. Very proud of that, and it's because of how all these people work. Volunteers are critical, obviously, to put this on. It takes us about 200 volunteers. It includes our own members, Bike Slow County, which most of you know about that bike advocacy group. Cal Poly Cycling helps us out. Central Coast.
It's usually 3 minutes. Thank you so much. Was there anything else you wanted to conclude with? Is there a website they need to go to or sign up?
If you'd go to the last slide, it might have some stuff that would be interesting.
Thank you.
Every year we do a rider survey. This is 2024. We had 600 riders check in. Average age, about 58. So our population is older. 11% of them rode e-bikes. Now this is of interest. 70% paid for accommodations 1 to 4 days.
Excuse me, Mr. Benedict, your time's up. I just meant if you had a website that people could go to, but we appreciate you being here. Thank you so much.
Good evening, members of the council and staff. My name is Aaron Oakes. And before I begin my remarks, I just wanted to let AGP Video know that there is no audio or video on channel 20. So when you guys get a chance in the back, please get that resolved as soon as you can. Okay. The rotary four-way test goes like this. Is it the truth? Is it fair to all who are concerned? Will it build goodwill and better friendships? And is it beneficial to all who are concerned? John Weiss lived to the fullest extent of that rotary test. Every day he lived his truth. Every single day he asked himself, is it fair? He spent his life giving and giving and giving to the community and to the world as a Rotarian, as a district governor, as a small business owner at Coast Electronics. He did it all. He spent his life building goodwill and better friendships with everyone he met, including me. John Weiss believed in me when no one else did, when I was at a low point in my life about 10 years ago. And before he passed away last Thursday, I thought of him almost every day because he was like a second father to me. John Weiss is someone who epitomized giving, sacrifice, community service. He strove for greatness and inspired countless people, not just in Morro Bay, not just in the Central Coast, but all over the world. As a Rotarian, he spent a lot of time educating people on the importance of eradicating polio. John Weiss is wholly deserving of the Paul Harris Foundation Award. John Weiss was Morro Bay to me. And one of my favorite lines he always gave at the end of every meeting he was at, it's never too late to do the right thing. And he also said this, I hope you all have a wonderful day.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through this. Linda Winters, 31-year resident here in Morro Bay. I need to make mention that John's ceremony is on the 24th anniversary of 9/11, so we should never forget that. And all of the importance that all of this country means to every single one of us. I'm here as kind of a reporter. I did attend the concert. One thing I should make mention of, Margaret Coroshelli, who is well known around here, also volunteers for Monday night dinners. So we all asked for her autograph when she showed up yesterday for it. We were on our 578th Monday night dinner. Hope to keep up the good work for a long, long time. We've been dining outside on the patio as the weather allowed us to do, and intend to do that for a little while longer, the weather gods permitting. And we are also going to be continuing on with the food bank and clothing distribution, which we're hoping to maybe hone that down just a little bit to make people a little less dependent on what we're doing and be able to take care of themselves a little bit better. One other thing I did attend in San Luis Obispo was the Housing and Homelessness Commission that Timmy, I hope I say her name right, Timmy Tway conducted, and it was really interesting to see how much we all play a part in the homelessness, and it all has to do, I'm preaching to the choir here, it's just the cost of living and what it takes to afford to live around here in any way, shape, or form. And hopefully one of these days we'll all be able to maintain and stay. And I think that's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
You, anyone else for public comment? Anything not on tonight's agenda?
Hi, my name's Penny Doherty, and I'm very concerned with fire safety. I live right up against Morro Bay State Park, and there was a fire in State Park. I have a great picture of it. Anybody wants to see it off the patio, the fire. And Morro Bay doesn't do weed abatement. The State Park does not do weed abatement around the people's homes. Although it's been the ordinance in Morro Bay for a long time that they're supposed to clear it, I've only lived here since 1980, but in that time they have never done it. And so I maybe somebody can get a grant, or I guess there's this fire safety council, and they're gonna do all these new ordinances, but ordinances, you can make ordinances till the cow comes home, but if nobody enforces them, they're no good. Like the helmet law for kids. I was so excited when they came up with the helmet law, but the kids will tell you, nobody pays any attention to that. So I just want to encourage you to do everything you can to clean up Morro Bay State Park, because I don't know if you know, but the Gifford Fire, there's two state parks right there that they hadn't cleaned around those. And a lot of my neighbors are losing their fire insurance. So anyway, that's all. Thanks.
Good evening, Council. Tonight I'm going to hopefully wear two hats in 3 minutes. So as the secretary of the Friends of Morro Elementary, t-shirts we have for sale too, I want to just thank everybody who came out to the benefit for Save Morro Elementary, council, and the community, and individuals, businesses, Carlos Country Kitchen, SunCal Roofing, Sinclair Morro Gas, the Shell Shop, and Tognazzini's Dockside, and there are many others. And I just really want to thank you as a member of the board for Friends of Morro Elementary. Thank you so much for your support, and hopefully we can take this to the finish line at some point. The other thing I wanted to mention was that at the LWAMPAC meeting, I hope I said that right, on Thursday or Wednesday, I was watching from home, but I really wasn't watching from home because the sound was going off and on and off and on, and so I switched to SoSpan. And then all of a sudden the TV would come on, you know? And so then I have to go over to the computer and turn the sound off. And the same thing is going on right now. My husband is currently at home trying to watch on TV. Here's the picture that he just sent. And I've heard it's fixed, but is it really? Because the sound keeps going on and off, and now, and there was no sound on the computer either on SoSpan. So my point here tonight is to say, let's not finish paying Bill Gaines if that's the company that did this. I think it needs a lot more work. I think it needs more tech assistance here, and because there's obviously a problem and nobody has figured it out. So if the people here tonight can't figure that out, maybe we need some more digging with AGP, because I have been going back and forth with Steve Matthew to let him know what's going on, because I have no other contact. And Steve's been our contact for decades. So thank you very much. And take that under consideration, please, because it's very frustrating. I mean, I'm sitting here listening just fine, and then my husband's sending me all these, nope, sounds on, nope, sounds off. You know, which is what happened to me on Wednesday night when I was watching WAMPAC. Okay, thank you very much.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'd like to put the purchase idea of the school into a real simple view for everybody. I know that we've got this nice bocce ball court, and the bocce ball court is right next to a residence. That residence is owned by the City of Morro Bay. So when we were talking about the school, they said that one-third of the property is covered by the Naylor Act, some law that I don't think about.
Basically, it's one-third of the property, and the price was on that, by the time you did all the swinging around, was about $750,000. So I played Monopoly when I was very young, and I still do it. Seems to me like you could take that house over here and trade it for a park over here if we all look for it. So my goal is to talk tonight is I don't believe that the city needs to buy the school from any of our general funds, nor any of the interest that comes for our general funds. I want to make sure that the city focuses on selling the excess property that was brought to us by Mr. Singval in March of all the excess property we have. You add them up, it's more than enough to buy the school. So I want to make sure that all the citizens know, and hopefully the council, that will be the direction you go to buy the school and not take any, on any more debt or buy any property that we're not using. The old teen center is another good example. That's a lot of money. And if you go around, I can name them for you. But I want the citizens to know that hopefully that's the direction the council is going. And anytime you see a council person say, hey, I hope you sell some old property so we can buy this neat school. Thank you.
Michelle Lester Cattery, North Morro Bay. This kind of ties in with the clearance and abatement of weeds and the ordinance that Chief McCrane will be bringing up. It's great to clear everything. And again, I'm going to hop on my soapbox and discuss the fact that we do not have adequate distance to be entertaining the ongoing wood-burning fire pits in Morro Bay, plain and simple. There's other means. There's gas. There's propane pits. With the amount of clearance required, which is anywhere from 10 to 20 feet of clearance of any combustible materials to have a fire pit, that's absolutely not feasible in North Morro Bay. Our lots are only 30 feet. And if that means combustible, that would include fencing. Fencing's combustible. We need to eliminate the possibility of something sparking, plain and simple. I think this is something that our town specifically needs to discuss. There's other towns in California that have completely eliminated wood-burning fire pits from their towns. Plain and simple, they realize that it's just too costly, that most people cannot get homeowners, fire insurance anymore. They're being dropped like hot potatoes in California. Can we not just eliminate a wood fire pit from this community? Simple. Put in propanes. And hearing the excuse of, well, barbecues fall underneath that umbrella. Barbecues have an end, a final. You cook your food and it's done. Most people use propane or they use pellets if they're smoking. So to use that as an excuse is not acceptable. When you have a wood-burning fire pit, they can burn all night long. And most of the time, they walk away from it. They may put it partially out, but that doesn't put it completely out. Those of us around there, we're up worried. Or we're leaning over the fence, hosing it down, so our home doesn't catch fire. So anyway, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Anyone else for public comment at this time? AGP, is there anyone in the queue?
There are no raised hands in the queue.
Thank you. Mayor, I'm sending it back to you.
Sorry, I was on mute. Thank you very much, Mayor Pro Tem. With that, we will move on to the consent agenda. We have two items on the consent agenda. And public comment, I will pass off to you, Mayor Pro Tem.
Okay, at this time, anyone that would like to speak to the consent agenda may come to the podium at this time. Anyone? Okay.
Is there any raised hands in the queue? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we have one coming here to the
Thank
podium.
Thank you. Dana. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good evening, council members, city leadership. My name is Dina Lundquist. I am the CEO for the Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce. I would like to comment tonight on the chamber lease agreement proposal for 695 Harbor Street. The lease is about sustaining a vital community resource. The chamber's presence at Harbor Street allows us to serve all Morro Bay businesses, members and non-members alike, and to act as a bridge between the private sector and City Hall. We maintain consistent public-facing office hours, typically between 5 to 9 hours daily, so that residents, visitors, and entrepreneurs know where to turn for support, information, and connection. Post signage, greet walk-ins, and ensure that the chamber remains visible and accessible. The chamber's more than a business office. It's a trusted resource for anyone seeking insight into our community. Whether it's a visitor curious about local shops and events, a new resident navigating city processes, or a longtime business owner looking for support, we answer questions, share stories, and help people feel rooted here. On any given day, we receive 5 to 10 phone calls, 3 to 4 emails, and welcome 8 to 10 walk-in visitors each week. These aren't just transactions, they're touch points that build trust and connection. The proposed lease rate of $200 per month reflects a fair partnership that acknowledges the Chamber's role in promoting economic vitality, solving problems collaboratively, and serving as a consistent point of contact for the public. It also honors the legacy of our previous economic development contract, which asked us to advocate for all business in Morro Bay, regardless of membership. This lease enables us to continue that work. It anchors our ability to host events, share resources, and serve as a hub for business and community engagement. It's a practical solution that benefits the entire city. This agreement reflects a shared commitment to transparency, to accessibility, and to the belief that a healthy business community leads to a thriving Morro Bay. Thank you for considering this proposal, and we look forward to continuing our partnership and building. Thank you.
Anyone else for consent agenda items? Public comment? All right. Anyone in the queue? AGP?
There are no raised hands in the queue.
Thank you very much. Mayor, I'm sending it back to you.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Edwards. Does anyone want to pull any of the three items?
No.
With yes, that, Mayor. Sorry, Mayor. Yes, I would like to pull just for comment item 6C, please.
I'll ask for a motion for item 6A and B, please.
I move that we approve item 6A and B.
I'll and second
a second,
that.
Please. Thank you. Vote, please, Ms. Swanson.
Yes, Councilmember Landrum?
Yes.
Councilmember LaFay?
Yes.
Councilmember Eccles?
Yes.
Edwards?
Yes.
And Mayor Wixom?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you. Item 6C.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I appreciate this opportunity to speak to this space at 695 Harbor Street. I've had a lot of experience and a lot of board meetings, among other creative discussions at this space. And I just wanted to say that I appreciate that we are utilizing this space as a hub for conversation, for discussion, for creativity and collaboration. It houses a few of our community organizations that really help us serve our citizens, whether it's our small businesses or our community through 97.3 The Rock and our enjoyment of commentary and music, or Visit Morro Bay, which is, you know, there to help bolster tourism. So having these organizations and being able to, you know, offer this really great asset of ours to help with these organizations who help serve different areas of our community, I think is a real big gift. And I really value that we were able to go ahead with this lease. So with that, I'd like to motion for approval of 6C at this time.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Any other comments on item 6C before we move for a vote? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Mayor Pro Tem Edwards?
Yes.
Councilmember LaFay?
Yes.
Councilmember Eccles?
Yes.
Councilmember Landrum?
Yes.
And Mayor Wixom?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you. And with that, we will move on to our one item on the agenda this evening for public comment. This is a public hearing item, and I will turn it over to Chief McCrane.
All right, AGP, could you start the slideshow, please? Good evening, Mayor and Council. Tonight, I'm bringing before you an update to the municipal code related to our weed abatement ordinance. There's a need to update the language in our ordinance to better define what is required. With the recent update to the fire hazard severity zone maps that the city has, the city now has properties in the high and very high zones. There are statutory requirements for weed abatement inspections of houses in certain zones related to real estate disclosures. In addition to that, we intend to apply for the Board of Foresters Fire Reduction Community List. Fire Risk Reduction Community List. One benefit to the community if we are accepted on this list is a potential discount on property insurance. There is documentation a property owner can get from the Board of Foresters website to submit to their insurance company. While this is only one factor evaluated by insurance companies, it can have the potential to lower rates or potentially assist in maintaining insurance coverage. I cannot give an estimate of the potential savings as this is just one of many factors insurance companies use when setting rates, but they are now required to consider these factors where they were not before. So the recommendation tonight, Title 8 of the Morro Bay Municipal Code is the Health and Safety section. In this section, Chapter 8.12 is our Weeds and Rubbish Ordinance. This is a chapter that defines our weed abatement guidelines, and we will be updating the name to reflect that this also defines defensible space guidelines. The reason for the name change is to better define the purpose of the ordinance. The intent is to create defensible space and make our city safer from the effects of fire. The current title, Weeds and Rubbish, is focused more on the aesthetic aspects of yard maintenance. The current guidelines do not provide sufficient direction on what is required to create defensible space around a home to make it fire safe. The goal of the updated guidelines is to reduce the fuels around a home that embers can ignite, spreading to a home. Currently, the guidelines are applied to all parcels within city limits, and the new ordinance does not change that. The primary focus of the current ordinance is the mowing of seasonal grasses and ensuring the trimmings are removed. It does little to address the fire spread between fuel types. The proposed guidelines follow the state requirements as defined in the Public Resources Code, California Code of Regulations, and the Board of Forestry Guidelines. These guidelines define two zones around a building. Zone 1 is from the building to within 30 feet of the structure, and Zone 2 is from 30 feet to 100 feet away from the structure. The intent of these zones is to reduce the spread of fire from ground fuels such as grasses and weeds to brush and trees and ultimately to a structure. These zones are useful in understanding how to create a barrier around your home to protect it from fire. Although these guidelines are designed for wildfire prevention, they can also make the difference in the event there is a vehicle or structure fire near your home by helping to prevent the spread of fire from those sources. If a parcel is smaller than 100 feet, you are still only required to maintain up to your property line. Here I just have an image that gives a visual representation of the zones around a building. As you can see on the lower right-hand side, there's a neighboring property that's closer than 100 feet. You only clear up to your own property line. There's no expectation to clear onto somebody else's property. So to get into the substance a little bit here, zone 1, again, is from the building to 30 feet or to the property line, whichever is closer. The focus here is to remove fuels close to the house that is easily ignitable from an ember that can travel a mile or more ahead of a fire. This does not prevent anyone from landscaping around their home. Live green plants and grass are not the focus of this ordinance. The requirement is to remove leaves, pine needles, and debris from your roof, gutters, decks, and porches. Remove tree limbs that are close to your chimney, roof, or windows, and remove dead limbs and brush, and to prune up lower tree limbs so that they are not in contact with the grasses or brush. Living green and maintained landscaping is allowed. And again, there is no requirement to remove trees. Zone 2 is from 30 feet to 100 feet or to your property line, again, whichever is closer, and you are not expected to clear past your property line. This requirement is to mow grasses down to 4 inches or less, remove dead tree limbs so that there is a space between the lower limbs and the ground, and remove dead and dying brush. There are requirements such as propane tanks and wood piles, not a large factor here in the city, but there are occasions where those are here in the city. Those requirements are in place as well to have a 10-foot clearance around those and make sure those are out of that initial zone one. So for large parcels or open space, such as properties on the outskirts of town, they will be required to clear a 100-foot section along the property line. This is an increase from the current requirement to mow 200 feet. If the parcel is large enough in the city to require a 100-foot cut and it has a structure on it, they are still required to use the above requirements around the structure in addition to the clearance around a property boundary. Most parcels, the 100-foot clearance would extend to the property line. And that 100-foot clearance is not clear cutting of the property. That is just a 100-foot mowed area and then clearing out the low dead branches and dead brush. There is no requirement to clear cut or remove trees. The guidelines in zone 1 and 2 apply around structures. The best practice is to still clear dead brush and reduce ladder fuels on all parcels by limbing the lowest branches of the tree to create space between the ground and the trees. Parcels that are environmentally sensitive habitat, or ESHA, have very special protections under the municipal code, specifically section 17.14.080. And this ordinance does not impose new or additional restrictions on parcels that are considered ESHA. City properties are included in this, and maintenance will be coordinated with Public Works and the Fire Marshal as is currently already done. So some benefits of defensible space. Here I have a couple images from a recent fire in Atascadero last month where the property owners had good defensible space and were successful in protecting their homes from an approaching fire, just to underscore the importance of this ordinance. As we have seen with many recent fires around the state, it is not just homes in the forest that can be impacted by fire. Everyone should take steps to harden their home from fire. I want to emphasize that it is not our intent to create a burden for homeowners or to make this a difficult process. Many of the properties in town already do a good job of meeting these requirements. We typically issue less than 10 citations a year with the current guidelines. I do receive multiple phone calls and in-person comments about the need to improve our defensible space and concerns about fire safety in the city. Every summer, we see cities and towns suffer devastating losses in areas that were thought to be safe because of how far embers can spread ahead of a fire. Homes are being lost. Removing fuel near the house for those embers to ignite can make the difference in saving a home. I also want to emphasize there is nothing in this ordinance that requires the removal of living trees or prevents someone from planting a garden or doing their own landscaping. Again, as it coincides with the insurance, it's not possible for me to say that there would be a certain percentage or that everyone would be guaranteed a deduction, but with recent changes to the laws, because there were so many insurers leaving the state, the state fire marshal, in conjunction with the Department of Insurance and state legislatures, have enacted guidelines that make them account for property level and community level mitigations that was not accounted for in prior revisions. So this is a fairly new thing where they do take into account mitigation actions that property owners are taking. Finally, takes us to any questions you have. And again, I just do want to emphasize, I've received a number of questions over the last couple days regarding the necessity of cutting down trees or not being able to maintain landscaping in people's yards. And I just want to emphasize that there's nothing in this ordinance that requires somebody to remove a healthy live tree. It is limbing dead and dying branches and just trying to break that continuity of fuels between grass and brush and up to trees and create separation and separation from these fuels to your home, removing branches away from chimneys, clearing the debris that accumulates on your roof and in your gutters and eaves. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Thank you, Chief McCrane. We'll start with questions down on the left. Councilmember LaFay.
Yeah, Chief, thank you very much for the presentation. How are you going to enforce this ordinance? Are you going out to look at properties, or is it by complaint driven? Could you share that with me?
Absolutely. So every year we send out a mailer to all parcels within the city that gives a weed abatement deadline. Typically it's around June 15th. That is a little later in the season than, say, Paso Robles or Atascadero. And the reason for that is because here on the coast we have the coastal influence. And earlier in the season, because of the moisture in the air, parcels would be required to cut again later in the season. So we do the inspection a little bit later in the summer. With that, after that deadline passes, the fire marshal, the engine companies, myself, we go out and we do inspections of all the parcels around the city. And then we will notice the homeowners and then ultimately send citations for those that are non-compliant.
Any other questions, Councilmember?
No, I'm fine.
Councilmember Landrum?
To follow up on that question regarding enforcement, how can we enforce or regulate state parks and what they're doing there?
So state parks, we don't have the legal authority to mandate that they comply with certain guidelines. These requirements are matching the state's requirements, and we do work with state parks. They have a four-year fuels management program that they conduct to try to thin out some of the brush, clean the grasses. We issue burn permits with them. I am in coordination with the supervisor for state parks to try to improve their weed abatement. And I've been in discussions with the Fire Safe Council trying to connect them with state parks as well to conduct a fuels mitigation project on state parks. It is a difficult situation. It is state land within city limits. There's some jurisdictional issues. We are working closely together and trying to make progress on that. It's just challenging at times to make progress. They are limited with state budget and with availability of resources as well. So they have been very open to working with us, and they've made a lot of progress on fuels burns and things. There's been a lot of burning this year to remove some fuels. So we've made progress, not as far as we'd like to go, but we're continuing to take those steps.
And I asked you prior in an email about some of this, and about that area, the Black Mountain area, you mentioned that there's also an issue of homelessness there too. Are we doing anything to address that?
So we've had a number of, you know, warming fires and fires set by unhoused individuals in that area recently. State Parks does patrol that. We do frequent drive-bys to look at that area as well. One of the things we're working on is we are in the process of installing a thermal imaging camera that will view that area. And it will, through using AI, thermal imaging, and infrared, will detect a fire and send me a notification immediately. And then we'll be able to start a response to that without waiting for it to get large enough that a property owner notices it.
Okay, and can you address, well, first of all, I'd like to ask, how is a weed defined? Is it grasses, seasonal grasses, or, because, I mean, a weed could be anything you don't want there, so.
Yeah, so in the ordinance, nuisance weeds, brush, and debris means weeds which mature, when mature, bear the wingy or downy seeds, which will attain a large growth and to become a fire menace when dry, or which are otherwise noxious or dangerous. This includes, but not limited to, and then it gives some examples.
Okay, thank you. And then about wood burning fire pits?
So that's something that we will have to consider as part of a separate ordinance. It would be an amendment to the fire code. At this point, we are, as we do inspections of short-term rentals, we're encouraging them to switch to propane, and many of them have been complying with that. We have not required a switch to wood-burning fire pits. They haven't been a big concern for us. We don't respond a lot to them. So it hasn't been a high priority issue for us. It's something that as we notice them or as we respond to complaints, we talk to homeowners, ensure they're being used safely. But that is something, if there's a desire by the council to address that, we can definitely look at that.
Okay, and last question. Is there any concern or other ordinances in other cities that you know of that address the fires that I know, residential fires that I know of in Morro Bay that have occurred are due to electric batteries, you know, and is there any kind of oversight over that?
Not currently, besides the electrical code. There's some change in fire codes in regards to, battery storage systems used for like solar, EV charging systems, but the fire codes, again, are somewhat reactionary, and the industry is still evolving, so fire codes haven't evolved as fast as the technology is, but there is no specific guidelines for fire safety in regard to batteries in a home at this point.
So you wouldn't recommend an amendment to address something like that?
I would have to really research it, and that's not something I could just do on the fly. A lot of variables in that.
Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Eccles.
Thank you. My question, Chief, is with regard to the surrounding areas of Morro Bay. I know that this ordinance, or I presume that this ordinance would only be in effect within city limits. But when I look at our sphere of influence area and the areas immediately surrounding Morro Bay, some of those areas are of concern because of the hills and the fuel there. What can we do about that?
So up until just recently, the county did not have a weed abatement ordinance that they enforced. Certain municipalities within the county did. Cambria had an active weed abatement, Atascadero, but the county as a whole did not. That recently changed. There was an item that went to the County Board of Supervisors. I need to follow up and see what the status of that is, but it is working through the process to add a similar weed abatement ordinance countywide. With that, these are the state requirements. Cal Fire uses them statewide. They call it an LE-100 inspection that they do on properties. So the language is standard statewide, and I assume that that's what they will be adopting or something very similar.
Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Chief, I really appreciate the very thoroughness of this report, and I know I asked several questions in advance. But one question I did have, I saw the city of Saratoga, where I'm from, and the city of SLO, so it was great to see those two on there. I guess my question would be, I know that you mentioned that so many areas of the state of California recently were added to the very severe hazard zones, and I was just wondering, do you foresee any sort of challenge to us getting on the list?
I don't believe so. There's specific requirements that cover everything from building codes, fire codes, weed abatement ordinances. If you have defensible space guidelines, if you have retrofit codes in place for existing structures, different building requirements and different severity zones. So there's a lot of different factors that go into it. And if you check a certain number of boxes, you qualify for the list. It's required to be reviewed by the Board of Foresters. And then, you have to submit your municipal codes and ordinances. Our Plan Morro Bay, our safety element, all of those types of things had to be submitted as part of this application. They'll review it to make sure that we do check all the boxes, and as long as we meet the requirements, there's no reason why we wouldn't be included in the list.
Thank you, and then did I hear or read this correctly that once we do make it to the list, which I hope would happen, is this something then you would take to a property owner would take to their insurance company?
Yes, so the application period for the fire risk reduction community list closes October 1st of this year. And then the list would be valid January 1st, 2026, and it's valid for 2 years. Once we're on the list, the property owners can get documentation from the Board of Foresters website that they can submit to their insurance company for consideration on their policies.
Thank you, Chief.
Yes, and if we're successful in getting on the list, you know, we'll send out a public announcement with information on how to obtain that information.
Any other questions from council?
Councilmember LaFay is raising his hand, Mayor.
Yes, I did want to shout out here to the audience about state parks. One of my friends lives in Blue Heron over there on South Bay Boulevard. He took it upon himself to go to the state parks, talk to the ranger that he talked to, and he got action the next day. So I'm not suggesting that we do that, but I think if you have any concerns, you can go to their office. It's over there by the golf course, and you can talk to a ranger, and the next day they came out and cleared the brush from his mobile home over there at Blue Heron. So just a comment. Thank
you. Any other questions? I have no questions at this time, Chief McCrane. Thank you. This is a public hearing item for introduction and first reading of this ordinance, and I will turn public comment over to Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mayor. It's at this time that anyone wishes to speak for this item, 7A. You may do so at this point. Thank you.
So I didn't have the same luck that your friend had. I called State Parks, and actually the first thing they said was, you can call maintenance, but they won't answer the phone. So I said, well, that's interesting, because my son's best friends, mother and father, were both state park rangers in this area, but they were in the administrative part. So I know that there's someone that I can talk to, that you can talk to above that. Okay, I'm going to have somebody call you in 24 hours. Okay, so I called the fire department, and I told the fire department my concerns, and they said, we're going to contact the fire marshal, and he'll get back to you. Okay, so then State Parks did get back to me 26 hours later, and they said that they had found some people to talk to and that they would contact me in the next week or two. So then I look out, and there's two CCC young men pulling weeds by my house. And there's 100 feet. And I swear they cleared a good 5 feet, maybe six. And then they disappeared. And so I called State Parks again, and they said, oh, okay, well, he said, well, we're going to send somebody else, and we will. So then we had the fire in the state park right behind the house. And so then they came. And it's funny, because the ordinance, I read it, it says you can't use a bulldozer. But anyway, they came with a bulldozer. But what they did was they did the trail. So from my property line to the trail is 10 or 15 feet. Well, they took this bulldozer, and they went down the trail, and they would try to get up the trail, only the bulldozer kept falling back down because it's really sandy up there. And I called back, and then I said, I have my son clear my property. My neighbor is 87-year-old, Morro Bay living treasure, and he cleared his own property. However, all these other properties are not clear. I mean, most of them aren't. Okay, thank you.
Mayor, I apologize. There was one slip. Mr. Jeff Heller.
Jeff Heller, hello everyone. Sorry for turning in my slip so late. On January 7th, I was visiting friends of mine in Agoura Hills. This was the night the Palisades fire broke out. Within 2 hours, my friends were ordered to evacuate. I helped them load stuff up and get out. Other friends of mine, I learned a few days later, lost their house. I've been helping them ever since, attending Malibu Council meetings and workshops. This fire has been put out, but the litigation involving all public agencies at all levels, City of Malibu, LA County, State of California, and the federal government will continue for many years. If there's a fire in Morro Bay, heaven forbid, and our ordinances are not at least in compliance with the basic existing state ordinances, we will be liable. All Item 7A does is bring our existing codes in full compliance with existing CAL FIRE defensible space guidelines for weed abatement, as documented in the California Public Resource Code, the California Code of Regulations, and the Board of Forestry General Guidelines. This is not government overreach. This is a very wise move by our chief to get us into bare minimum compliance with state regulations. We will be liable if we don't get this in place and there is a fire. There are many other things the City of Malibu has done that I think we should probably talk about in future meetings, but at the bare minimum, I propose that you support this fully and go forward. Thank you.
Anyone else for public comment on item 7A? Yeah.
Betty Winholtz, I will respectfully disagree with my neighbor, Mr. Heller. I think that I don't know that we are liable. I think that what we're doing is we're coming up to a higher standard than we're normally have had, and that what I need in order to feel comfortable are some definitions, because what the way I read the ordinance is that between your house and 10 feet, certain things have to happen, like nothing. And so I guess I need to hear from the chief talking about not removing trees. Is that true between your house and 10 feet out, that nothing needs to be removed? Because I know people that have trees in my neighborhood that are within 1 and 2 feet of their house. And the second thing I need to understand is the definition of parcels. Is that just residential parcels? Is it business parcels? Does it include, and you did say that it included public parcels, not eshes, but parks, I assume, and other things. So I have a hard time with the eucalyptus being removed from Del Mar. I would have a hard time with understanding how the trees that have already been severely trimmed downtown, but they may still be within 10 feet of a building. So do they need to be cleared again back? And so I need to understand the parcel thing and then the 10 feet clearance. And you answered the questions. Thank you for asking the questions about enforcement and how that would go. And we talked about Esha, and thank you for that. And the other thing is, so we may not have to remove trees if they're growing outside the 10 feet, but we would have to remove their branches. I guess that's a kind of a secondary question to what happens between the 0 to 10 feet, and then what happens to street trees as well. It's, for me, it's bringing a wildfire that's out in the wild area into an urban area. And so for me, it felt drastic that this was happening, and I don't want that to be drastic. And I don't want it to be where we no longer have the ability to have something within 0 to 10 feet of a house. I mean, I have things like that. So I'm gonna have to need to know, do I remove or at least trim back that 0 to 10 feet? Thank you.
Betsy Gaudette Cross, resident of North Morro Bay. I live three houses from the hills that used to be the Chevron property. And I'm wondering who is responsible for clearing the brush between the fence of the old Chevron property and the road, because it is often very overgrown. Thank you.
Michelle Estacattery, North Morro Bay. To piggyback on what Betsy just stated, in that old Chevron property, is that property in the sphere of influence for the city of Morro Bay? If so, is there a reason that there can't be a tractor break, fire break in the dirt in that wild area, so that if something sparks on Panorama or going up around the edges, where people tend to try and skirt around the main avenues in town on their motorcycles or, you know, trailers or whatever, and it sparks something, is there a break in that area, in that open space, of whether it's a 20-foot tractor, you know, turnover or something? I'm not sure if that's the cities, the counties. The other thing is in Section 8, Chapter 8, 12.12.081, it says removal abatement shall include cutting or spraying with chemicals. Is it possible to, understanding that we are a coastal community, anything that's sprayed or put on the grounds ultimately winds up in runoff, which runs off into our ocean, which we directly come in contact with. Is there a way that we could emphasize changing from chemical to non-corrosive, environmentally appropriate, non-toxic, which would be vinegar, salt, and dish soap, to remove those weeds? Thank you.
Is there anyone else for public comment on item 7A? Okay, AGP, anyone in the queue? AGP?
There are no raised hands in the queue.
Thank you. Mayor, back to you.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. With that, I will close the public comment on this public hearing item and bring it back to council. Chief McCrane, any response on tree removal as far as in the city parks and city trees and things, how this ordinance affects that?
Absolutely. I'd like to address a couple of those points.
Okay, please. Thank you.
There is nothing in this ordinance that requires the removal of a live tree. Full stop. This ordinance requires the removal of dead branches and limbs. It requires the removal of branches within 10 feet of a chimney or stovepipe. It does require removal of dead tree limbs, shrub branches that overhang roofs, or below or adjacent to windows, which are adjacent to wall surfaces. So it wants some clearance between the walls and the roofs. The only requirement for removal from 10 feet away from a structure is that 10 feet away from the chimney. Again, not to the detriment of a tree. We don't want to kill trees, but we want to provide a separation from that heat generated by a chimney or a stovepipe. There is absolutely no requirement in any section to remove a live tree, whether it's in a state park or the city park, whether it's on somebody's property. The requirement is to remove dead and dying branches, limbs, brush, and remove grasses. As far as the Chevron property, the fire marshal works with the owners of the properties that boundary the city, Chevron and a couple other large parcels, to get them to mow at least a 20-foot section. With the new ordinance, we'll be working with them to get them to mow at least a 100-foot section around the exterior of the property. As far as we have the jurisdiction to, they've been real compliant in the past, and we foresee a good relationship moving forward to be able to accomplish that too.
Thank you, Chief McCrane. Any other questions for Chief McCrane before we move into deliberations?
No.
Did you address the 0 to 10 foot question? Yeah. Okay. And then also the chemical spraying. I mean, that is a future agenda item that I have. I don't know where that is, the status of that, but.
Yeah, I'd like to touch on that. So the method of removal or abatement That section is currently in our existing municipal code, and it does define that cutting or spraying with chemicals or solutions to destroy or retard the growth of weeds. It does not specify what those solutions are. If the council would like to better define that, you know, as part of the next discussion regarding the use of, you know, weed killers and things like that, we can definitely do that. This section was not changed. It's just carried over from the existing ordinance because it defines what this community has allowed up till this point.
Thank you.
Any other questions, council? Move into deliberations. Start at the other end, Mayor Pro Tem.
Yeah, I actually pretty much made my comments, Mayor. I just thank the chief for always providing us very thorough reports. I also appreciate the timeliness of this. I mean, it was, in my opinion, a very quick turnaround, so thank you for that, you and your staff. And I appreciate, you know, you giving us a little bit more understanding, especially the homeowners, who insurance fees, of course, have skyrocketed, and those of us who perhaps have even lost insurance, home insurance, over this unfortunate situation. And I do agree that I rather err on, you know, going this to a further extent in terms of fire safety, because the loss, as a member of our community came and spoke to, are just too great. So thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Eccles.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you, Chief, for bringing this forward to us. I'll report out to the residents that after the Palisades fire, I received multiple comments from residents here that were concerned, that were very concerned about the fire threats around neighborhoods. Then that happened again last month after the fire off 166. And I was in touch with the chief, and the chief was as responsive as he could be to those residents. And I think this provides more jurisdiction to the city and more authority to the city in order to protect us from some parcels in town that just aren't kept up to the standards that they should be. So I think this is very important in terms of responding to the concerns of residents. And I'm pleased that I know that many of the residents that I spoke to earlier in the year, in the first quarter of the year, are breathing a sigh of relief knowing that this is coming forward, because frankly, they've been asking for it quite a while. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Eccles. Councilmember Landrum.
Yes, I agree. Thank you, Chief McCrane, for all your work on this and for making this more clear tonight. I think that was really helpful too. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Councilmember Lefebvre?
Yes, Chief McCrane, thank you so much. And I think the only thing that I really would like to emphasize is working with the outlying parcels, the county, the state, and try to see if we can get a little bit more cooperation. I think that because we are, you know, kind of huddled in a zone there, that what we do would be for naught because they're not doing their fair share. So thank you very much, Chief.
Chief McCrane, yes, I'll echo those sentiments. Thank you for your time and work on this. I think that this comes at a good timing, as Councilmember Eccles alluded to. We've had a lot of outreach over the last, you know, this past year with all the fires around the state. Coming after doing the fire severity map and the help that we're going to get in the state parks area with that thermal imaging, this just kind of all plays into us doing the best we can for our community and trying to be cautious and fire safe. With that, I will ask for a motion for item 7A.
I'd like to motion approval of the first reading of ordinance 672 with further reading waived.
I'll second that.
Thank you. I have a motion and a second. City Clerk Swanson, thank you.
Yeah, just out of abundance of caution, if you could read the title of the ordinance.
Yes, ordinance 672, Morro Bay Municipal Code, chapter 8.12. Is that what you need enough, city clerk?
So Brian Sack, your city attorney, if you could read the description of ordinance in the under the recommended action.
You got it. Thank you. I appreciate that, Councilmember Eccles. I'll just repeat this. First reading, further reading waived on ordinance 672, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Morro Bay, California, amending Title 8, Health and Safety of the Morro Bay Municipal Code to amend and rename Chapter 8.12, Weeds, Rubbish, and Defensible Space. Okay? Great.
I'll second that.
Roll call vote. Councilmember Edwards.
Yes.
Councilmember LaFay.
Yes.
Councilmember Eccles.
Yes.
Member Landrum.
Yes.
Mayor Wixon.
Thank you, yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
future agenda items.
Thank
anyone?
Madam Mayor, I've got one. We've had discussion about cost recovery and the revenue policy for the city was last looked at in 2021. So as a future agenda item, I'm proposing a review by the City Council of Resolution 52-21, which is the City of Morro Bay Revenue Policy.
I'll second that.
So you have support from Council Member LaFay. I'll support that also.
I will support it too. I would like to see if we could, I mean, did you have any kind of idea of when that would get, we would hear that back?
No, we'll have to put it on the planning track and we'll wait till after the finance director comes back with the fees that we just had. Does that work, Councilmember Eccles? I think we need the fees back first before we add something else to the finance department.
Yeah, I'm amenable to that. I think it is a timely item. Certainly, mm-hmm. We'd want to review it before the budget cycle.
Yes.
Mid-year
budget. Yeah.
So as soon as possible.
Thank you. Any other items?
No.
No. With that, we are adjourned.
Thanks, Mayor.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
Thank you. See you all tomorrow.
Thank you.
Okay. So what